me and my wife in a bedroom, and we grew the business with another partner. So we ended up bringing on a third partner. But in 9 years, we grew that business to where we were doing north of 30 some million dollars a year in sales.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check. Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Another amazing episode in the Online Hustlers Podcast where we cover REI marketing and conversion. And today we have a special guest because to me, it's one of the best individuals that I've actually got to know in the space that really know what they're doing in the wholesale space in such a short period of time. And I want to say that because he came from another industry and he applied the same principles and fundamentals of this other industry into wholesaling. So kind of like a plug and play, and actually derived from that a process that with one simple skill will actually get you to close more deals at a high level, at a high rate, consistently, to the point where he got $3 million, about $3 million in his first year of business doing this consistently. And it's not, I'm not saying that he has like a very high level mega operations here, but he just applied some of the principles here. His name is Eric Klein. I'm very, very, very happy to have him in this episode right here today. What's up, my man? The man with the bat.
Man with the bat, bro. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Just ready to kind of listen to you. And a lot of people actually don't know you, but they will. And the goal here is that you get to know like who you are, because what you are about to actually do for the industry and serve the industry with your specific superpowers is huge. You're a true business owner, you're a true online hustler, and you literally mastered the art of conversion. So I want to really walk through a little bit of who you are, man, but how you were being able to really rapidly get to that much of growth in your first year of business. But overall, man, just understanding how we can give some good value, good tips, good hacks, good mindset stuff, and good just tactical things in this episode for everyone that is listening.
Of course. Where do you want me to start, man?
So I'd like to know more about you, man. Where are you coming from? And what's your background?
All right. So without going like the long drawn out version of it, I'm 41 years old. And right now I reside in Raleigh, North Carolina. Married, two kids, two dogs, man. But to rewind, going back to as young as like 13 years old is when like my life kind of spiraled out of control at a very, very young age. From 13 to 28, I was heavily, heavily addicted to drugs and alcohol. Didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere, not even in my own family. And it was all internal shit. I come from a broken family, meaning my parents divorced. It was an ugly divorce. It was hard on me, and that happened at about 13. And from 13 to 28, when I say my life spiraled out of control, it spiraled. It was bad. I mean, I was, you know, kicked out of high school. My mom said, go to the Navy. I was fucking kicked out of the Navy. They didn't even want me. After the Navy, I bounced from job to job to job to job. And, you know, I started abusing drugs, heavy drugs, up until I was 28. And the drug that brought me to my knees, which I said I would never do, was crack cocaine. And I abused that drug for years. And at the very, very end, 28, I was 130 some pounds. My eyebrows were singed off. My cheeks would have blisters on them because I was, you know, fucking doing drugs off of a flame off the stove. And I literally was just trying to like end it all, meaning my life. Like I didn't want to live. I was very reckless. And I had at 28 years old, I had a spiritual awakening. That's the only thing that I can call it. Because I was hallucinating so bad after being up for 8 days straight, where the ambulance had showed up. My family was outside of the room. I was cooped up in, you know, the paramedics were there saying, we're going to go in and revive this kid. And they counted to three. They were going to kick the door open of the room I was in. And I was in this room and I was hearing all this shit. And they counted to two and I kicked the door open, or I opened the door, and I was standing in a hallway by myself in my underwear, and I had hallucinated everything. So like it was a power greater than me saying, Eric, if you don't change, this is what's next. Like you will die. And it was that day I literally had it tattooed on my knuckles, August 9th of 2009. I changed, and my life since that day has fucking, I live a life beyond my wildest dreams, brother. I'm blessed. Like I have a family today that I love. I have I have beautiful home I get to go home to. I got two fucking golden doodle and a Bernedoodle, two dogs that fucking, like I walk into my home and I got family that come up to me and love me every time I open the door. And that's a beautiful thing, man. So that's where I come from. And I can go into like my businesses that I've had. I don't know if you want to elaborate on anything else, sir.
That kind of reminds me a little bit, because I'm passionate about helping people. That's why we have this podcast. And one of my cousins that lived in Colombia went through a very similar scenario of you. Like he was younger though, and it was maybe like an entire year and a half or two where he was also doing heavy drugs too, and the parties and electronic music and techno and going to this and that and even creating different like weird pink drugs that happen in Colombia. I don't know if you know about them, but
I'd put anything. I didn't even give a shit. I'd put it in my mouth, up my nose, you name it, I'd do it. And I thank God today that I'm still here, because for many, many years, I didn't want to be here. I really didn't. No. And I the amount of shit I put in my body, I shouldn't be. And I thank God that I've changed, because I know today, like I got a purpose. And as life goes on, I'm still figuring out what that purpose is. Like, man, I was put here to do this. I was put here to deliver this message. So I love it, man. Life is a beautiful thing, and I'm not going to waste this one.
Yeah. And man, I was the person that ended up kind of getting the person out, my cousin out of that misery of just intaking so much drug. And I made him move to another city in order for him to change his environment and who he was looking. He was going to actually become someone he didn't want to become, but because of these things, it was dragging him away from what his true dreams were and what he was capable of. Mm-hmm. And now, man, like he moved to another city and was able to change everything up, but like I had to come in and fix a little bit of the mindset, mental struggles that they had, and switching, helping switch up the environment. But not only that, I helped him like develop some skills where he could, if he has an obsessive personality, probably you and I also have obsessive personality.
He can get
obsessed on those skills, right?
Yeah, of course.
And 100%. I'm assuming that that's something, is that something that kind of like what happened? Do you get someone to help you? Was it a self-realization? Like, what was that process like?
So for me to like, when I get asked that question a lot, brother. And like, for me, I shit you not, it was life or death. And it was life or death for me to change. It wasn't the first time I had went to a treatment center. It wasn't the first time my family had tried holding an intervention on me. Like everyone tried getting me clean. Everybody outside of me tried getting me clean. And it was not until I ultimately hit my own bottom, right? We all, if you're going into a dark place or, you know, you're addicted to drugs or alcohol or whatever the case may be, we all have a bottom. And nobody can soften that bottom for you. Like, you ultimately have to hit the bottom, whatever your bottom is, in order for you to change. And some people, man, that's jails, it's institutions, and it's death. Right? Those are bottoms. And when I hit my bottom, for me, it was so clear, like the hallucination or the vision that I went through on August 9th, like it was so clear to me that it was either change or die. There was no in between for me. I wouldn't have been lucky enough to go to jail, right? It was death or change for me. And that day I was like, fuck, I do not want to die. Like, I really did not want to die at that moment. And I ended up, you know, taking a train to Rockford, Illinois. That was my hometown. I was in downtown Chicago living at the time. And I jumped a train, and a buddy of mine put me on a plane, flew me down to Fort Lauderdale, and I checked myself into a treatment center again. And, I stayed there for like 2 months. And when I got out, like, that's when reality hit. And I realized, like, fuck, dude, the sky is really blue. The trees are green. I can hear birds chirping and shit. Cause I lived like under such a black cloud for so many years. And I was like, fuck, this is good, man. I'm in South Florida. I had never been to South Florida. I go to treatment there. I get out, my mind was open to a world I did not know existed. What is that world? I fucking was riding a mountain bike somebody gave to me because I didn't have a fucking license, right? Someone gave me a beat up ass mountain bike, and I would drive from my halfway house all the way down to Fort Lauderdale Beach, and you'd have to go down this road called Las Olas. And on Las Olas, you see fucking Lambos, Ferraris, Rolls Royces, you see all these big ass houses. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? I didn't even know this world existed. Fast forward 5 years from riding that beat up fucking mountain bike, I was living in those big ass houses on Las Olas, and I was fucking rolling out the house in the Rolls Royce. Anybody can do it, bro. I'm nobody special. I'm no
one. You said 5 months?
5 years later, I was fucking rolling down Las Olas to go home in my Rolls Royce. And I don't say that to brag, but like, it happened in a short period of time, very short period of time. And what the one thing that I did and got really good at was sales. Like, dude, I'm not the best marketer. I'm not the best operations manager. Dude, my one skill that I've gotten really good at is sales. Do I know how to run a business? Of course I do. Do I know how to generate leads? Of course I do. But you could take me out of the wholesale industry, plug me into another industry, and I personally believe I'm going to have the same kind of success.
I love that. I love that. And man, so you said that people have to somehow hit their own bottom, even though there is external influence trying to help them to not hit that bottom. What do you feel like right now wholesalers hit or in their first year or first months or even before starting? Just what do they hit? What do they have to hit in order to like realize, God damn, I'm doing something wrong and I need to turn it around because it's not working. Like it's my bottom, at least in a personal or business perspective. What is that bottom that wholesalers or wannabe investors hit, in your opinion?
So I've talked to enough of them, right? Enough have been through my sales training at this point. If you're getting into wholesaling, I'll take it back. When I got into this industry, right? I come from an industry that I did sales at a very large scale. I had 150 people all under one roof, no virtual assistants, no VAs overseas, none of that shit. It was all in-house.
Yeah.
100 of those people were all over the, all in my sales pit. On the phones, generating deals every single day, every single month. So when I came into this industry, wholesaling being new, I started popping in. This is a long answer to your question, but I started popping into all of these different lives and coachings and all this shit. And I'm like, man, the message the new person is hearing, they don't have a shot. Like they're going to fail. They're going to fail. And what I mean by that is the message was that I heard was spend, like get on the phone with the lead and try and disqualify it as fast as you can and move on to the next one. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, why would you try to disqualify a lead? Get on the phone and qualify that lead. For somebody that's just getting started, if a lead, if any homeowner is going to give you the time of day, you love the one you're with. You love the one you're with. You take it all the way through a full-blown sales process and you make an offer on that. You don't let a number. So my opinion, to answer your question, what's holding them back? They focus on the wrong things and they're listening to the wrong message. This is not a hard business model. Wholesaling is overcomplicated by a lot of people. You need to focus on getting a seller on the phone and converting it to a deal. That's all wholesaling is. It's not real estate. It's lead gen and sales. And if you focus on those two things, like don't worry about dispo in the deal. Worry about fucking locking it up first.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I agree with you, man. I feel that when people come in, they come in with so much over education on either YouTube free education or all these different courses that they lack clarity and attention and focus on what should they really be doing. And also the shiny object just appears so much so often by all these guru marketers that they don't sharpen that skill set of sales. They don't focus on generating leads and sharpening the skill set of sales that ultimately it is what got me where I am. Because trust me, man, even though I have a personality where it's like I am very outgoing, interpersonal, I like to talk to people, I never had a sales training. I never understood sales. And I was scared of sales. Yeah. Or understanding that I was already selling myself whenever I introduced myself to people, but I just didn't really take it seriously or structured. So I did my engineering thing, and that teaches me more to how to be systemized and operational. And yeah, my business was able to be systemized and operational, analytical a little bit in the beginning, but then, which is kind of the same thing with people start with real estate, be like, let me make sure that I can analyze these numbers, have this kind of like complex repairs calculators and like making sure that I have this and this established. But what if you get on a call with a homeowner that really has a problem and you cannot really solve it? Or you kind of just talk with the homeowner that is not believing anyone because everyone has screwed them over like another wholesaler. And how do you get that person to believe that you're the right person? And that all comes through persuasion and sales. it all comes to also going through the sale process. So the same thing that got me to elevate my business to over $180,000 per month is by focusing on the one thing that I was not really understanding well, but I had the capacity of doing it, which was sales, which was increasing my sales, having a developed sales team, developing a sales team that ultimately makes me a sales manager, and continuously increase sales in the top line and also in the bottom line. So that was everything. That was everything I did. And the employees that I hired helped me with the inside part that was taking a lot of time. So that's about it, right? Can you walk me through, like, very interested of knowing how was your entire progress from when you were realizing, wow, there's this freaking world out there in Fort Lauderdale, which I used to live in Fort Lauderdale and I used to bike too. I used to see those freaking houses, amazing. Las Colas, to like starting that business to get to 100 people in house. Because right now you have it, you have a lot remotely, but like it was a progress from you experiencing those in-house 100 people.
Yeah. So my very first job was in Fort Lauderdale, South Florida, in sales. I was literally a cold caller. That's where I started. $15 an hour cold caller. Did that for like 6 months. And they, like, I was blowing all the cold callers out of the water. And this is what got me. And then after 6 months, they moved me to a closer. Within a year and a half, I was the number one sales guy in that organization. And I say this, I was not the most talented person in that building. This is what I was. I was the fucking hungriest person. I was the hungriest. I had something, for the first time, I found something that I knew did not have a cap on it. I ultimately wrote my own paycheck on Fridays. They just signed the fucking check. So for me, I was just coming from the bottom, man. I had seen hell. So I knew, like, for me, there was nowhere to go but up. And I wanted to see how high up I could really go. So I was the hardest worker in that building. And I say this today because I know the day I left that company, I cared more about the company than the owner did. And I knew that was the day I needed to part ways and go do my own thing, right? So for a year and a half, I would show up every single day before everybody. And I'd be waiting there with a fucking lunchbox in my hand, waiting for somebody to open the door. They would let Eric in, right? I'd work all day. And then at nighttime, they'd be shutting the lights off. I'd still be at my cubicle with my fucking headset on. And they'd be like, Eric, dude, we got to go. Like, you got to get up from the cubicle. We're done. I'd take it off. Next day, waiting there with my lunchbox, dude, waiting for somebody to open the front door. So I just outworked everybody. Now, I picked up in a year and a half. I was around in that company. I will say that's where I picked up from a lot of different people that had been in sales much longer than me. I picked pieces from everybody. Like, I was a sponge for a year and a half. And when I left that company and went and did my own thing, my first time ever starting a company, we took it from zero, just me and my wife in a bedroom. That's how it started. Me and my wife in a bedroom, and we grew the business with another partner. So we ended up bringing on a third partner. But in 9 years, we grew that business to where we were doing north of 30 some million dollars a year in sales.
Wow. And why do you think that you
first shot as being an entrepreneur?
That's incredible. But not everyone gets to that point. And you had a distinct characteristic from the beginning, and you mentioned after you got outside of your really bad situation and started to like going back to the streets, but not to use drugs, but now to actually hustle and use that drive and that obsessive personality that you have to like crush it in that sales, in that cold call role and the closer role. Like, why do you think you have that? Is there something else out there? Like, is there something that you cannot tangibly kind of touch? Is there something that makes you the way that you are and gets you to accelerate to the point that, wow, $30 million a year on that company, being the most hungry guy that leaves the job the latest and comes in the earliest with your lunch bag,
I was hungry. No, was there a force? No, I was hungry. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired and not feeling like I was a productive member of society. And when I put a headset on my head, I finally found something that I knew I could excel at, right? Like I was like, holy shit, I can get as good as I want at this. And I started making money. I'm like, fuck, I just beat last week's paycheck. Shit, let's see how much I can beat it by this week. Fuck, I just beat it again. Dude, before I knew, like, I was hungry. Esteban, I was hungry. Like, I get asked all the time right now. They're like, I've developed a sales process. I haven't white labeled my shit. It's my process. Like, it's my sales process over 13 years that I developed, and I'm still developing it. But I get asked all the time, like, Eric, you work too much in your business. It's like, motherfucker, don't tell me what I do. I love what I do. Like, I'm okay that you think being a successful business owner is somebody that gets to go and do whatever he wants. That's awesome. That's success in your eyes. Success in my eyes is being here with my team, providing for my family. If I wasn't here every single day grinding it out with my team, I don't know what I would do, man. I can only go to the fucking beach and mountain so long and not get bored. I love building. Like, this is in my blood. I feel like I'm a part of something. I love doing it. So, yeah, I don't know. I just went on a little tangent right there.
I think you're obsessed with winning.
I love it, bro. I don't want to lose again.
You're just obsessed with winning and winning more. That's awesome. You said you developed this sales process, and I'm assuming that while having the company of motivated timeshare owners, is that right?
Yeah.
Was it like was it that you came in and developed the sales process from there and took the same elements that you are currently applying, or was there something else different?
No, I've taken the exact same process, just took out the word timeshare, entered the word home, and tweaked some of the verbiage. But it's the same process, the same tactics, the same word tracks. Right? Then you put on top of that tonality, you bring your emotion to it. Like, but it's the same process. It's intro. Shit, I got the thing on my foot. I got it on my backboard right now, right? It's your intro, your fact find, why, your pitch, your offer, and your close. There's a lot more to those five steps that I just said, but the easiest part of every sale, and I say this all the time, the easiest part of any sale should always be the close or the negotiation, because by the time you've made an offer or you've asked for the order, whatever you're offering, a product, a service, or whatever, by the time you've made an offer or asked for an order, that consumer or buyer or seller should now be negotiating with somebody that they like, trust, and want to do business with, right? Negotiating is not the hard part. The hard part where everybody misses it is everything you do up to making an offer or asking for an order. If you've done everything right, fuck, now it's just getting to a number that makes sense.
So, and this process, it's my understanding that well, you're so confident in going to another industry that you made it now even recession proof. So it's recession proof because you can take it to another industry that is not really getting hit by, let's say, an economy downturn and crush it in sales. Like, anyone can jump into another industry that is winning. Maybe next year it's the crypto back again and everyone's doing real estate crypto. Maybe 2 years from today, it's another like big thing and you can take this exact same process and teach it to your team and to yourself and be able to crush it. You've basically developed this recession-proof model that people are not seeing in real estate. I don't think there's anyone right now. And I respect a lot of coaches in sales.
Probably. I do too.
I respect Steve Trank. I respect Stephen Max, right? I respect which are the other ones? I respect the other ones, the other sales coaches.
John Martinez, the only one I've met, like Max and Steve Train, I've met. Any of the other ones I have not met.
Yeah. But I feel like these people ultimately also grabbed just, for example, Sandler, and they grabbed the book here, and they probably optimize it to the industry.
Yeah.
But you have a baby that was given birth by you. But
it's
all these challenges.
Shit, bro. It's my shit.
When is the book coming out?
My wife keeps asking. You and I were just at a event. And where were we just at, Esteban?
San Antonio. Hopefully
live. We were at San Antonio. And someone came up to me and I did like, until someone tell what you don't know, right? And we were at this event and someone had come up to me and they're like, hey man, shoot a reel with me real quick. And I was like, all right, cool. Afterwards, because in the reel, I talked about a sales process. Afterwards, he put his arm around me and he's like, Eric, he goes, I just want to let you know, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, no one mentioned the words sales process. It was not mentioned in this industry. And he goes, everywhere I go now, people are mentioning a sales process. And he's like, brother, I just want to let you know your work is spreading. Like the word is spreading and it's spreading fast. So, and I was like, fuck, dude, you really think it was because of me? Like, you think I brought the sales process to the wholesale industry that quick? And he's like, dude, I'm going to give you my personal opinion. I think that's why people are saying it. And it, like, listen, it felt good to hear that. Whether I did it or somebody else impacted this industry, I know sales in the wholesale space, it needs to be taught properly. There's a lot of hustlers in here that have had a little bit of success and they try teaching it. And that's okay, man. I'm not knocking them, but there's levels to this shit when it comes to actually teaching it, right? If you're going to teach somebody something, hopefully they're going to be able to go and duplicate it and get the results or better of what they were looking for.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, you're obviously knowing that this requires levels. So let's kind of backtrack and see. Yeah. So people that have no idea about sales, but probably have the personality of it. Like, who you feel is the type of person that would fit this type of process or this type of system?
Anybody. And you look, introvert, extrovert, whatever the fuck you want to call yourself, anybody. And the reason I say that is 13 years ago, Esteban, I was so insecure. I had social anxiety. I couldn't be in large crowds. I couldn't hold an intelligent conversation. Today, I literally still can't read a book from top page to bottom and retain what I've read. So like, you can be shy, you can be outgoing, you can be black, white, Asian, fucking Chinese. I don't give a fuck what you are. You absolutely, if you have a true process, you can learn this. This sales does not discriminate. You could have fucking no arms and no legs, put a fucking headset on your head and be as successful as you want. That's what I love about sales. It did not discriminate against me. It doesn't matter that I got all these tech. It looks like my fucking kids have drawn all over me for years. It didn't discriminate against me, man. You can be, yeah. You can be a male. You can be a female. You can be whatever you want and be successful in sales. Like, and I'm very niche specific. I'm over the telephone. Like, I don't talk about going to in-person appointments and knocking on a door. I don't do face-to-face sales. Can I today? I'm sure I could close the fuck out of some face-to-face shit. But my history, my years of experience is all over a telephone. Anybody can do this.
I feel like a lot of people also get stuck in the like, oh, I kind of don't want to just keep it on the phone. I need to go see this seller in order for me to close the deal. When in reality, you can leverage everything that's happening right now with virtual wholesaling and real estate investing. Ever since like COVID, people started to realize and wake up to the fact. People already had done that before that. But
yeah,
now that you're using Zoom more, now that you're using over the phone negotiation and over Zoom, the phone transactions and relationship building, I mean, like, it's now or never that you take something like this and implement it in you and your team. And yeah. Now you said that there's levels to actually teach this. If yes. Someone were to get this process, go and say, Eric, train me. I want you to show me exactly how I can elevate my sales system and being able to actually show my employee, my new acquired acquisition manager, to do it. What are those levels? I love to like really understand for someone to teach these type of things to their team based on your process.
Yep. Before anything, it all starts here. It all starts right here. Right. You have to, I always say this, the number one sale you have to close first is selling yourself that you believe you can do this. That's the number one sale, right? Everything after that. So the number one sale is looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, Eric, God damn it, motherfucker, you can do this. I believe in you, Eric. And that's me telling myself, I believe in me, right? Because until I believe it, more than likely the shit ain't gonna happen. For a lot of us, we're our own worst critics, right? We're harder on ourselves than we are pretty much on anybody else. So the number one sale is just having a little bit of belief. It doesn't need to be a ton. You got to have a little bit though that you can do it. Then it's finding, like I always talk. If you're going to get into this industry, someone told me getting into this industry, this could not be scripted out. They're like, Eric, you can't script this out. Every seller is different. Their situations are different. And I'm like, well, no shit. That's with anything. But your conversation, your side of the conversation should be the same every single time. Like the name of the seller could be different. Their address could be different. Their circumstances could be different. But it doesn't change the way you talk and flow with them, right? So if you're going to get into it, I encourage anybody, you want to have a script. You want to script it out. Again, something I say all the time, all your great movies, all movies that are out there, blockbuster hits, they never once said action without having a full script in place for the actors to go and go off of. Now they're going to put their own personality into it. They're going to put their own gestures and shit like that. But everyone has a script to go off of. So if you're going to get into this, either find something online that at least gives you a blueprint of what you can say to somebody, or shit, come to your boy. Cause I know I got the best, right? I said, I got the best stuff on the streets right now. Everybody wants to the blue magic, I think, is what Frank Lucas had, right? But you want to have a script. You want to have goals. Like, even though day one, You're like, shit, I don't know anything about wholesaling. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Set some KPIs, key performance indicators for yourself. Day one, like, hey, I'm going to knock this many doors. I'm going to dial this many phone numbers. I'm going to get X amount of talk time every single day, and I won't give up till I get it. I'm going to make, in my first 30 days, I'm going to make X amount of offers. And don't stop until you hit it. Like you, so goals is going to be key. Script is going to be key. If you're going to have a conversation, right? Set a little tape record. If you don't have the software and all that shit, like set your a tape recorder or something where you can listen back to how you sound. Right? All your big sports teams, they go and lose a game or win a game. The next thing that they're going to do is sit and watch the tapes. Hey, you fucked up here. You should have jerked a little bit more to the right and you went left, right? They're looking at where they messed up. So if you're getting into this and you're going to start making calls, you want to be able to go back and listen to yourself. That's some of the most powerful training that you will ever do is going back and listening to the tape. It's going to tell you what you're good at, what you're weak at, and then what obviously you need to fix, right? The tape does not lie.
Okay. So can we go over just real quick? Let's just, I want to kind of go back to where you had 100 people and it was in person, now compared to like where you have a few people on not as big, but now they are also remote as well. So,
mine are here. My closers are here.
Oh, their closers are local?
All my closers are in my office right down the hall from me right now.
Okay.
All my cold callers are all virtual.
Okay. So the skill set of getting to learn this and getting to absolutely master it is one thing, but the other one is like being able to put this into someone else's head inside of your team as like acquisition managers is another skill set. Let's walk through that, because I know you basically managed 100 people of what, 100 cold callers, was it something like that?
It was 60 fronters, right? It was front, like fronters. I call them fronters. 60 yeah, it's a cooler fronters. Name. Appointment setters, and then I had over 40 something closers on the phones. I mean, I ran the thing from 9 a.m. till almost 2 a.m. So I pumped that bitch. If I could have ran it 24 hours a day, I would have.
And you always had the energy.
Yeah, listen, I true Esteban, when I say this, I don't say it just because I don't wake up and go to work. I love what I do. You know, I'm 41 years old. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to go this hard and fast and truly enjoy what I do. But today I can say when my feet hit the ground, I never once fucking wake up and be like, God damn it, Shyla, I got to go to the office. Like, I show up, man, because I love to be here. But how do you implement this into a team? I got a guy that's on the phones today for the first time. He just hit the phones at 10 o'clock this morning, 10:30 roughly. Now, I've been training him for the last 4 days. What did I do before he ever hit the phone? So he's been here for 4 days now. And day one, I went over company culture, expectations. I let him know day one, my clear expectations of him. And the reason I do that day one, I believe the real person after you hire them shows up like 90 days later. It takes about 90 days for them to get comfortable with you and start being the real person. So I lay my expectations out day one. This is what's not negotiable with me. You have to meet this many dials, this much talk time, this many offers. I don't like you being on your fucking cell phone all day. Being late is the biggest thing that will get you fired off my team. Attitude is everything. Be a team player. Like, I lay it all out very clear. And then once we do that, I go into wholesaling 101. What's wholesaling? It's very basic, right? We're talking to homeowners that want to sell their homes at a discount. All the shit. And then what I do is I then put him through my 6-week sales training, which is recorded. It's mindset, goals, respecting the leads. I think this industry has missed the boat when how they value these leads. These leads are worth their weight in gold, especially when these sellers keep answering the phone. I mean, we're lucky these fucking homeowners stop. They should have stopped answering these phones years ago. We blow them up. We fucking annihilate these sellers. So for them to still be answering the phones, Esteban, we should all be grateful. And I don't think the industry talks about that enough. So I want my team to value the leads. Then I go into my 5-step sales process, objections, rebuttals, tonality, all the stuff. Like I put them through my whole class. And then before they jump on the phones, they're not allowed to hit the phones until they sat down and typed out their goals for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, and a year of being with my company.
The goals you set?
Before they're ever allowed to hit the phones, I make them type out their goals for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, and being here for a year. I want to see if they even can have a vision of being with my company for a year, and I want them to put it on paper.
Sweet. I'm taking notes myself, man.
It's a lot. I know. I get to go chatting, bro, and I'm sorry. Sometimes I can't stop.
I know. I love it. And whoever is listening to this, just please share this podcast. Give us a review. It will help us in the Spotify algorithm, in the Apple podcast algorithm. Just give us a review and we're going to go deeper into this, because do you have a little bit more time? Because we can do that, or we can do a second episode. Do you have more time?
We can do a little bit. Esteban, I thought this was going to be an hour. I just have my new guy on the phone today. And I told him, listen, I will not let you fail. I'm literally sitting in the desk next to him, pounding leads today.
What kind of leads are you?
What's that?
What kind of leads are you pounding him in the first days?
I put him on anything that's 8 days or older.
So kind of like reactivating some of the leads?
Dude, his first conversation, I shit you not. Most people, I've been through 13 closers already in the 17 months I've been doing this. I know it takes about 10 to get a good one. So, like, this is nothing new to me. But his first conversation, he was able to stay on the phone with a guy for an hour and 10 minutes, dude. That was impressive to me. He had butterflies. He was nervous. I was sitting right next to him, right? And most people in this industry, their first few calls or shit, their first 20 calls, they can usually get like 10, 12, 13, 14 minutes, and then they run out of shit to say. So I was actually impressed he could stay on the phone with somebody for an hour and whatever minutes he was on there.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty good, man. Like, let's see how it goes. I usually have a little bit of trouble on onboarding salespeople, because they can also lie to you in the interviews, and they can all play good.
They're lying. I say interviews are like first dates, man. You show up in the best outfit. You want to say all the right shit. That's why I say the true person shows up 90 days later. We have in our employee paperwork, the first 90 days we can get rid of you for any reason. Because I've been doing this long enough. I know in 90 days, the real person shows up. And I will wax that ass before that happens.
And obviously these people have a, is it like a commission mostly that they have, or you also put them into some sort of like compensation with a base?
$26,000 base salary. And then if they get funded in a single month, $50,000, they get 8% of that. Anything over $50,000, I bump them up to 9% for the whole month. So they got to get over $50,000 to get that 9%. But dude, it's so doable. It's so doable. It, like if you got this and you got the work ethic, right? If you got a positive mind, good work ethic, and you're motivated, brother, being an acquisition manager on our team and our commission structure, you can make a really good living.
I'm pretty sure, man.
Rock stars, dude.
Like your commission structure itself is something that would motivate anyone, especially because you have the tiers levels and you have a base. And some people, you know, do not share bases because I mean, it's like such a long sales cycle, man, that it could really hurt someone if it takes so long to close a deal after it's being under contract. So I bet you do it because like it's a safety net for them too, right? Like at least pay rent.
Listen, I don't want someone coming in here. Not that I don't want them like money motivated, right? But you get someone that's hungry and you don't want them their first 90 days stressed out whether or not they're going to be able to pay rent. They're going to be, is that a motivator? Yes, it is. But it will ultimately affect sales as well. And again, that's my opinion. And I'm entitled to that shit. So that's how I feel. Do I love making money? Of course I do. I want my fucking team to make it too. Right? Me and my family are going to be okay. I'm not a greedy fuck. I want the team to win. I want to pay them well so they don't have to go do something else, man. Like I want my team to stick with me. I'm only as good as my team. And if I build a good team, shit, ultimately I'm going to do good.
Man, I had recently signed up for an agency sales program. And one of the things that they told me the first day is like, you first got yourself rich. Now you're getting your clients rich, in this case, helping your clients. Now get your sales team rich. Mm-hmm. And that's a way that you're going to continuously growing. Because you're given the opportunity for your closers to do it. Could you feel that anyone like, let's say people are starting to hire overseas and seeing the opportunity with your sales process? Can someone take this to a so-called virtual assistant, which is just a remote employee from, let's say, South America, and just put this process in their head and train them to the point that they're closing deals and you have less overhead. You're paying them way more than they would get paid in their regular country. Yes. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I said in the beginning, I don't give a shit who you are, where you are. You can do this. It does not matter. I am that confident, Esteban, in my process. I do not care who you are. If you implement it and you stick to it and you live and die by it, you will have success. I'm confident in it. There's nothing like it in the industry right now that I am aware of. And I'll the words of Conor McGregor, I did not come here to take part. I came here to take over when it comes to sales training.
Fuck. Fuck. Well, man, like I really like this, and I believe that you deserve a second type of podcast, just full, because it's been already a full hour, and I don't want to take your time more than what it is. It's been so great actually getting to know you, and can I like share a few of the things? how can people actually find your sales process? How can people find you or figure out more about exactly how they can take their company to the next level?
So you can find me on IG, which is The Eric Klein. Yep, The Eric Klein. The Eric Klein, just how you see my name there, E-R-I-C-C-L-I-N-E. And then I do a 6-week sales training. You can go to my website. It's theericklein.com. You can DM me on Instagram. It's me responding to the messages, not someone else. And then I just recently, as of 2 days ago, am selling an online course of my 6-week sales training. It's 6 weeks of me teaching. The recordings are yours. They're yours for your team. They're yours to train. And I just dropped that. I think it was 2 days ago. And I'm selling the recordings. It's somewhere between $15 to $2,000. But they're yours. You can use them to train over and over and over and over and over.
Okay. Do you have any affiliate program so I can help you out with this or what?
Of course. Of course.
All right. We'll talk about it then.
Yeah. Sure, brother.
I think like everyone in this industry need this. And also, guys, he just mentioned that he will reply himself back. But that's just right now. I cannot imagine 6 months from today or a year from today, guys, you guys are not going to have the same type of 101 time and the same type of experience with specifically Eric Klein. So take advantage of today because he must explode and he will explode. I'm telling you, I just see this projecting. And even though he can have teams, just take advantage that he is responding to messages himself. He's approachable. Like, people are going to him personally and asking stupid questions. He will answer stupid questions.
I'm still answering them. Hey, because listen, but I agree with you, Esteban. It's getting to the point, though, like on a daily basis, there are too many coming in. And I do my best. But there'll be a day where I can't do this personal stuff one-on-one at the scale I'm doing it at right now.
It's basically impossible.
It would be way too time consuming.
It's physically very hard. Like,
yeah, it's impossible. Yeah.
So take advantage of that. Again, at The Eric Klein, and you will be able to find both course and the program. And I believe that here at Hustle Media, we're going to be able to create some sort of synergy. So we'll be preparing something for you guys. I don't want to jinx anything, but there's something that could be cooking, some sort of nice soup. everyone that's listening to this, again, share this away. Give us a review. Follow the Eric Klein. And man, I cannot wait until we have a second episode and I tell you guys exactly what we've been cooking and how things are going to go. So thank you for listening to this. Eric, anything that you want to share away, a last thing to these listeners?
As I tell everybody, man, if nobody has told you today that they believe in you, because for so many years, I just needed someone to say that to me. And I believe if I would have had that voice in my head, I believe in you, I believe in you, I believe in you, you can do it. I promise you got it in you. You got it in you. Don't give up. If no one's told you today that they do believe in you, I promise you, I believe in you until you can believe in yourself. You have it in you. And if I need to be the one to fucking pry it out, I will. But we all have it in us. I'm not special. Esteban's not special. And neither are you. So let's all just win together.
Let's make it happen. And God bless, man. Thank you so much. Right. Everyone that's listening, thank you so much. We're going to go end the broadcast and see you. Thanks for listening.
Peace, brother.